speaker today is Ann Strong. Ann is a newbie here who has just jumped in with both feet to participate in this celebration, and I haven't had a chance to get to know you yet and look forward to your talk as an opportunity to get more of a sense of who you are. Have a good feeling so far. Let's see, she has had a varied background spiritually, from Catholic Church of her childhood, Christian mysticism, Quaker meetings, dances of universal peace, unity churches, kundalini yoga, and communing with the natural elements. She's an author and will share her story of whatever it is that is going to tell us more about who you are. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you, Chris. I had several ideas on what to share, and a few weeks ago, Robin really inspired me with her, I think it was actually a reading from her book about her car accident. And what I took away from that was how much, if we're available to it, we can notice that we're always held. And then this morning, with your reading, Linda, I realized that in that being held, we get to choose. Are we going to plug into our source? Are we going to illuminate and therefore share the light? So I guess that's why I'm willing to do this now. Because essentially, I am willing to share. So I thought it would be fun to share a bit about my actual spiritual journey, because I started out in a good Catholic family, going to good Catholic church every week and catechism on Mondays. And even as a kid, I had some doubts about that. And it was confusing because I knew that I had this passionate love affair with God and wasn't so sure about the church itself. And nobody indicated that those two could be separate, but somehow I must have intuited that a little bit. So at the same time, I didn't relate this to church then, but in my spare time at home, I was always outside. And I wasn't a particularly athletic kid, so I was basically laying under a tree, looking at the clouds and reading books. And didn't really understand at that time how integral that was actually to my understanding of God, because that's not exactly what we talked about in Catholic Church. So fast forward a little bit, and I'm in high school, and what became kind of a central theme for me around religion was going on religious field trips. So I went to different churches with my friends. And I don't know, Lutheran Church doesn't seem that different than Catholic Church, but they did what I thought were more cool things there. They got to ring these bells, and it was fun. And then I had several friends who were fundamentalist Christians. I didn't even know what that meant, but it didn't feel very good there. I went to three different churches, and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I think I'm done with this. And this is as a teenager. So in my junior year of high school, I took two classes that really set me kind of clearly on my course. One was world religions and the other was psychology. And what I took away from the world religions class was that there's all these different ways that people worship. They call God different names, but it sort of seemed to me like it was all the same. And that was kind of comforting. And at the same time, I also learned that there was something in, I'm going to say most, but I believe all religions, that is a line of the mystical path within that religion. And I don't think I understood exactly what that meant at the time, but as I grew, I came to understand for me it was more about a direct experience. That whole idea of the priest up there telling me what to do was relatively meaningless. But actually reading scripture, even the same scripture, participating, being with it, myself and discerning was incredibly meaningful. So I got married for the first time really young, still in the Catholic Church. I was still a good Catholic girl, whatever that is. And his family was also Catholic, so it was the obvious choice. And given that we were both 20 and married for probably less than sustainable reasons, the marriage didn't last long at all, and in fact set out in the process of getting it annulled. And that process was essentially humiliating. It was very probing, asking many, 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 many very personal questions, not just of us, but of people who knew us. And I endured that process for some strange reason until it came time for them to sort of decide, which takes months or years, and they explained that it couldn't be finalized until it was paid for. So at the age of 21, I officially divorced the Catholic Church without ever getting an annulment. And that was a beautiful thing. You know, it was a really clarifying moment of whatever this God thing is for me, I can take that with me. And whatever this Catholic Church thing is, I don't need to. So that set me off on another set of field trips. This time I went a little further aflung and participated for a while in a Quaker meeting, which I loved. I loved the silence. I loved that people didn't speak unless they had something to say. And I didn't stay because Quakers really bring their politics into their meeting. And while I shared their politics, I didn't really want to talk about politics and spirituality at the same time. So then I was kind of adrift and not really sure what would be next, and stumbled upon a Unity Church. I was living in Center City, Philly at the time, and just fell in love. It seemed to me like, oh, this is what it's like to have a direct experience of God and a positive experience of God, that I hadn't understood that would be a way. So as it tends to be my way, I jumped in with both feet and started studying to become a Unity minister. And I think at that time I was maybe 27, 28, and was really quite zealous about it and loved my studies and took my own study of that on the road with field trips to several Unity churches up in the Northwest. By this time I'd moved back to Denver, and so I went to a Unity church in Salt Lake, a Unity church in Missoula, another one in Eugene, Oregon, and taught a class, Tapping Your Inner Power, and thought, this is amazing. Went back to Denver, continued with my studies, and then as I'm thinking sort of, I don't always think about the bigger picture out there, I'm realizing that when I become a Unity minister, I'm going to be governed by a board of directors. And I'm an entrepreneur since I was 5. So I'm like, I don't know about this. So I continued the studying, but I never did become a Unity minister. And I continued to go to Unity Church. And I guess I wanted the deep study, who can say. But Unity has been very foundational for me in my path. And at some point in Denver, the Unity churches didn't seem to be serving me as much as I would have hoped. So I discovered the Dances of Universal Peace. And the idea that you could sing and dance and partner with people and share prayer all at the same time, more of that direct experience. So I still went to Unity Church sometimes, and I religiously went to the Dances of Universal Peace, and the whole experience of creating worship just felt so amazing to me. And at that time I met who would be my next husband, and he had had the good fortune to come down to New Mexico just north of Taos, actually north of Cuesta, so just a little bit below the Colorado border. And he was there working on this woman's greenhouse, and he called me and said, "It's amazing here. You're going to love it." I'm like, "I've been to New Mexico. I don't really love it." And I had actually been to Santa Fe. And he said, "No, you're going to love it." And I said, "Well, I get that you love it, but I don't think I'm going to love it." Famous last words. So he completed the greenhouse project, came home back to Denver. And at some point later, I was in a depression that I wasn't coming out of easily. And he said, "That's it. Get in the car. We're going to New Mexico." We're not going to New Mexico. Well, of course, we went to New Mexico. So I'm sitting there in this beautiful place. We got there at night, so just it was already dark, went to sleep. In the morning, I go outside to journal. I'm not even out there 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, this is different. And whatever it was I felt, I can't even remember the name of the town that's just 2 miles below the Colorado border on the way to Taos. And it felt like magic. Like whatever I was depressed about was gone. And I just felt at one with being there. You know, that I was aware of the clear air. I was aware of the beautiful sun. I was aware of the smell of the sage. Okay, this is different. So we bought a camper. We bought some land. We went down to Sunshine Valley for summers. And after our first summer, my husband at the time said, "So what do you think if we lived here full time?" Because our idea was to live there when we retired, which was 25 years down the road. Like, well, I guess we could live here full time if, first of all, we have a phone, because that's how I do my work. And not everybody had a phone there. And second of all, we need a house that's clean enough. And I really didn't think that would happen. So somebody told him about some house. This is in El Rito, which is just a little bit north of Cuesta. And sure enough, it's this magical, beautiful adobe house with the floor made of bricks set into the earth. And just walking in there, I knew we were going to live there. And it wasn't that clean, but the lady who was renting it to us assured us that there was a lady in the area right there who loved to clean and would come over and clean for us first a lot and then regularly. And I called the phone company, and they actually gave us 2 phone lines for each of our businesses. Like, well, that was easy. So we lived there for 1.5 years. And that, I want to say began, but it's more like awakened my favorite direct experience of knowing that I'm held. And that's from the land here, the nature here. That my husband was gone a lot. He worked in Colorado a lot, so I would be alone for weeks at a time. And I didn't really make people friends when I was there. But boy, did I love to do the laundry, because I got to hang it out on the line. And my love affair with the moon just exploded. I would lay outside in the moon, and when that seemed too dark or too scary, I'd lay wherever it was coming in the house, in that little moon puddle. And whatever it is about the clouds and the sun and the sky and the earth and the rocks here, I was so wrong. I realized from living there that, well, I was born in Denver, and Denver was my home, that this land, this nature, this more direct way of communing with all that God is, New Mexico is the home of my soul. And so that was humbling. I realize now that I can trace that back to being a kid and laying under the tree. But it seemed like it was time to move. We only stayed there 1.5 years. And the reason I needed to move back to Denver is New Mexico did nothing for me to have any interest in actually marketing my business. So when I had, I don't know, I think maybe two clients, it wasn't enough to sustain, and I wasn't doing what I needed to do there. So did move back to Denver and continued to come several times a year to that same area and stay in a little cabin that this lady rented me, because it's the heart of my soul. It's the place I have the best direct connection with God, with nature. And really wasn't clear what that was about. I'm not a traveler. I didn't want to be in a bunch of places. I didn't understand why I would have a home that supported me sort of in a financial infrastructure way, and then also have this home of my spirit and my soul. I think I might have it pulled together, fast forward to now, but we'll see. I've only been here 10 months, and I seem to be doing okay with marketing my business this time around. So when I was back in Denver, I went to the big religious science church there, some of you may know it, Mile High, to get that kind of feeding that I was getting from Unity, but it didn't feed me in the way I had hoped. And at the same time, a couple of my sisters live in California, so I was very fortunate to get to go to Agape, Michael Beckwith's church. And the thing I noticed about that was that they were both at the time religious science churches. I understand Agape isn't anymore. And I felt something different. At Mile High, it seemed like a show, and at Agape, it felt like that direct experience. It was feeding my soul, and I particularly noticed that in the music. I got so curious about it, I interviewed Roger, the main minister at Mile High, and I interviewed Ricky Byers-Beckwith, the music director at Agape, and learned that both of them sorted for that, that Mile High wanted a show, and that Agape wanted music that came from people's hearts and souls. So it was wonderful to know there was such a thing as a choice that way, especially since I was back to the sort of indoor type of church. So I moved away from Mile High, and that's when I discovered Kundalini Yoga. So again, sort of like the dances of universal peace in embodying my practice. You know, that I got to move my body, I got to chant, I got to meditate, all in service of this direct experience of knowing that I'm being held. And fast forward a little bit, just in the last few years, I lived in a part of Denver where I was really close to Red Rocks Amphitheater. And so I would go up there as my church on Sundays and just hang out with those amazing Red Rocks. And that gave me an additional thing besides being there with the rocks in the sky. It's up above Denver enough that you get this amazing perspective about what little specks we are. And it would always dissolve my problems because it's like, you know, it's not that big a deal. Look out there. So again, that worshiping on the outside. I think the fact that I had so many church field trips, I was actually looking for the field. And so fast forward once again, I'd known for years I wanted to get back to New Mexico. Didn't quite know when or how. It seemed like it was starting to be time. Went on several field trips to Taos. Twice thought I had a place to live. Both of them fell through. That's not it. So I was about ready to stay in Denver for a little while longer, and my astrologer really pressed me to look once more. And I hadn't really looked around Santa Fe because I didn't know a lot about Santa Fe, and I thought, well, I'll try it. And I knew I wanted to live outside of town because of the whole nature aspect. Found two places, the place I'm living in, Lamy, and another place just slightly up on the mountain. And I knew in an instant when I looked at the place I'm living that I was going to live there because it was a beautiful house and it had this same nature sense. What I didn't know until a month later was I was living just over the rise from the Galisteo Basin Preserve, which has become my big backyard and yet another place that I worship and feel that direct connection outdoors. So Joan had been inviting me to Celebration for months. I hadn't come. I don't know why. I'd gone on all the church field trips, went to Unity, went to the two religious science churches here. Thought, well, maybe I'll go back, but never felt compelled. And when I finally got here, it took a hold of me. And, you know, here I am. And I think what I'm noticing about now is that I have my indoor church here that allows for the direct experience because I get to participate. And I also have my outdoor church here, and not just in the Galisteo Basin Preserve, but I don't hang my clothes out to dry outside anymore. That's a little bit sad. But just walking from my car into Whole Foods, I never cease to appreciate what an amazing place this is. So I just really want to thank you all for how inclusive and embracing you've been, because I'd pretty much given up on traditional church. And thank goodness this isn't traditional church. So thank you very much.